Eat your veggies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Somebody at Pinnacle Brands must have been listening to his or her parents. The Wall Street Journal reports today that the packaged food giant is getting ready to buy Birds Eye Foods, the biggest frozen vegetable producer in the country, for more than $1.3 billion. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York bureau. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Tell us about these companies involved in the deal.
Birds Eye, as you mentioned, is the biggest frozen vegetable company in the country. It controls about a quarter of the frozen vegetable market. And you can find this stuff in all the big stores, so Walmart, Kroger, Safeway. They also make frozen meals. You definitely know a lot of Pinnacle's brands. It owns Duncan Hines, the cake mix company, Swanson, as in frozen dinners, Mrs. Butterworth's pancake syrup. Now, one of the interesting things about this deal is that both companies are owned by private equity firms. In Birds Eye's case, it's Vestar Capital Partners. Pinnacle is owned by Blackstone.
All right, private equity. So what's the significance of private equity in all this?
Well, for the last couple of years, private equity firms have been pretty reluctant to make any deals. And lately, there have been some signs that that's starting to change. So this is another sign. The other thing is that Birds Eye has about $700 million in debt. And last month, it filed to launch an IPO so that it would raise money to pay down some of that debt. If it gets bought, it won't have to do that.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us from New York this morning. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's check the numbers. European markets are off a bit, a quarter of a percent to about a half a percent or less. In Asia, stocks were mostly lower, except for the Chinese benchmark, which rose again. No Zoom yesterday for Wall Street. There's concern among investors about the strength of the economic recovery. The S&P was off by some change, the NASDAQ by about half a percent, and the Dow Jones Industrials closed down 11 points at 10,426. Health insurer Aetna says it's cutting 625 jobs. It's about 2% of its workforce. It also plans similar job cuts next year due to the lagging economy and the potential impact of health care reform. The Connecticut-based company won't leave any of its markets, but it will consolidate some field offices to save on real estate costs. The Obama administration promised transparency like never before when it unveiled its stimulus package. Businesses that got money would have to report how many jobs they created. But there are reports that some of the information isn't quite on the mark. And today, the House Oversight Committee holds a hearing to try to sort out fact from fiction. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Some of the stimulus reports include jobs allegedly created in congressional districts that don't exist. One company used the stimulus money to give out raises, counting them as new jobs. The White House says these were simple mistakes, but Marvin Koster says the Obama administration is attempting the impossible with its jobs count. Koster is an economist at the American Enterprise Institute.
Economists are best at making judgment about will this lead to more jobs or fewer jobs? They're very poor, really, at making an estimate how many more or how many fewer.
John Irons disagrees. He's an economist with the Economic Policy Institute scheduled to testify today. He'll tell the Oversight Committee the White House might have actually undercounted jobs because people hired with stimulus money indirectly create more jobs.
And that construction worker then goes out and spends money at either local diner or the local McDonald's or the local movie theater. That could very well mean an additional job.
As the debate continues, Congress is considering more legislation to create jobs. Nobody's saying how many. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Japan Airlines is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy, and the two potential saviors are right here in the United States. American Airlines and Delta Airlines are offering Japan a cash lifeline in return for a partnership in their respective airline alliances. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports from New York.
Right now, Japan Airlines, or JAL for short, is part of American Airlines' One World Alliance. That means Americans' customers can buy one ticket and connect on a JAL flight and vice versa. These days, almost every big airline is part of a similar partnership.
If you want to be a global airline, you have to fly to where your customers want to go, and an alliance is a much cheaper way to be able to expand your network.
Jim Corridor is an airline analyst with Standard & Poor's. He says alliances are great for attracting business travelers, the ones who pay full price for a seat at the front of the plane. They also reduce competition, but there are risks.
If your alliance partner defects, suddenly you're left high and dry without a strong presence in a market.
That's the dilemma American Airlines faces as Delta tries to woo JAL from oneworld to the SkyTeam. The winner won't just be able to market itself as a strong player in Asia. Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly says these partnerships also help airlines save money.
So Delta and Air France, for example, who have their joint venture across the Atlantic, they're able to say, you know what? Maybe we each used to have two flights between New York and Paris, but maybe we don't need a total of four flights. Maybe we only need a total of three flights to really match the capacity to demand.
And he says they can coordinate the schedules of those three flights so customers can connect to short-haul flights on either end. Do customers end up paying more? Probably not, according to Kaplan. He says airline tickets are about as cheap as they've ever been. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, one Maryland woman was looking for a safe place to hide her life savings while she was out of town. So she figured the Blessed Mother would keep an eye out for her rare, valuable U.S. coins. The lady left about $40,000 worth of the coins underneath a pile of leaves at a Catholic shrine about 50 miles northwest of Baltimore. It's a replica of the grotto in France where visions of the Virgin Mary came to a schoolgirl back in the 19th century. A groundskeeper there found the gold and silver coins, which were in a couple of freezer bags, and operators, thinking they got a big anonymous donation, got the coins appraised. While waiting for police to do their investigation, the woman returned and asked for the coins. Officials at the shrine then pointed her in the direction of a bank with a safe deposit box. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.